Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In case you're curious, gray t-shirt, blue jeans, black kicks.
Jeans, I got, what shoes are these? My Nike shoes, these are a little older. I need some new ones from Run Pacer. And I got my New Wave Soda t-shirt on. We haven't talked about New Wave Soda forever. I love New Wave Soda. Tangerine is still my favorite flavor, but it's a very comfortable shirt, so I chose to wear it today.
Each and every Thursday, that's not true, Wednesdays. This week's just very thrown off. Every Wednesday at this time, we normally blitz the East. Yesterday, the Nats were supposed to be playing, and so we were done, kind of. We moved it to today, though. Let's get to it. Let's go around the division, and let's get you the latest on a really hot NFC East that right now has the best winning percentage in the conference. Eagles on deck, Cowboys in the hole. We start you off, though, with Patricia Traino, who covers the Giants for GiantsCountry.com for SI. Patricia, 3-1, another win, and this one was kind of ugly, but Daniel Jones couldn't even move at the end of the game. They brought in Tyrod Taylor. He got hurt. Now Jones is out at wide receiver, and they're running Wildcat. Pretty gritty win for Brian Daboll's bunch.
Yeah, how about that? What a difference coaching makes, right? A little bit of creativity and imagination, and I guess you can overcome anything.
What's the state of their receiver position? It feels like they don't have any, and they pay Kenny Golladay $1 trillion, numbers approximate. It feels like they're under-talented and kind of gritty at this point, generally, Patricia, but maybe especially at receiver.
Yeah, you know, it's so ironic because at the start of summer, everybody was saying, oh, the receiver core, it's one of the strengths, it's deep and so forth. And yet here we are through the first month of the season, and the receivers just, you know, I think they only have, what, one receiving touchdown, and that's by Sterling Shepard. So you're right, Kenny Golladay has been a disappointment, and now he's injured. Kadarius Toney, their first-round draft pick last year, can't seem to get on the field. He's been dealing with a hamstring, and I'm not so sure he's going to play this weekend. Their second round pick from this year, Wandale Robinson's been dealing with a knee injury. So they've had to go with guys that ordinarily might be like fourth, fifth, sixth receivers on any other roster, but who, because of the injuries and because of the issues that they've had, have been pushed up into larger roles.
Yeah, a couple of those guys. Richie James is their most targeted receiver now that's still healthy, and David Sills. I mean, what's the backstory on those guys? I'll be honest, I'd never even heard of Richie James before week one, and now he's a fixture in this offense.
Yeah, Richie James was with the 49ers, and I believe he had a season-ending injury last year, and they kind of gave up on him. So he hit free agency. He came in, and you kind of started to pay attention to Richie James back in the spring, because when Shepard, Toney, and Golladay were all sidelined with their various, you know, off-season procedures that they had had, Richie James was taking first-team reps. So, you know, you kind of filed that in the back of your mind and said, okay, you know, this is a guy that, you know, maybe he, because of his experience, he's getting the first-team reps. But throughout the course of the rest of the spring, the summer, the preseason, even the start of the season, Richie James is a guy who has shown that he knows the playbook like the back of his hand. And Brian Daboll has said, you know, not in so many words, but he has alluded to it several times, that you have to earn your snaps in practice and you have to earn them for the games. And it doesn't matter what contract you have. It doesn't matter where you were drafted. If you don't put the work in to earn them, you're not playing. It's that simple. And it's the same thing with David Sills, who had been on the practice squad. He was like a perpetual practice squad player. He worked his tail off, and here he is on the roster.
So this defense has been pretty darned impressive through 4 weeks. I know they haven't played, an 80s 49ers team or something like that, but still only giving up 23 points, 20, 16, and 12. Now you add Landon Collins to the mix. Where does he fit in, and how are they kind of doing this on defense?
Yeah, I mean, Wink Martindale has said time and again that he runs a positionless defense. So even though a guy might have a designation of safety next to his name, he's probably being asked to play some safety, some cornerback, some slot cornerback, maybe some linebacker. So Martindale has done a really good job of moving guys around to their strength and also tailoring that against the opponent that they're facing. So the Giants defense, you know, they've been strong in some areas. They're, I think, number two at red zone. And I want to say third down conversion. They're ranked second in the league. So they've been really playing well. And here's the beauty part of it. They've been doing it, you know, they didn't have their two pass rushers for the first, you know, game or two. Leonard Williams has missed the last couple of games with a knee injury. So they've had injuries to that unit, but yet Wink Martindale has figured out a way to move guys around and play them to their strength.
Giants are 3-1, as we mentioned, but this is the stiffest test of their season. They're in London, 9:30 a.m. kick against the Packers, who are 8-point favorites this weekend. Patricia, thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks.
Be well. Check her out, her coverage of the Giants. Let's move along. Blitzing the NFC East and discussing the Eagles with Ed Kratz, who joins us now to break down the Birds, the last of the undefeated teams in football. Eagles today for SI. Ed, 4-0. If I'd have told you that before the season started, what would you have thought?
Well, I didn't have them at 4-0. I think I had them, you know, when you get out, when the schedule comes out, you do your wins and losses and all the excitement. I think I had them at 3-1. Am I surprised they're 4-0? Not really, given the roster that was put in place in the offseason by their general manager, Howie Roseman. And my concern was how quickly would it come together. I mean, the roster's solid, and it's come together more quickly than I probably thought it would.
Their offense has been a juggernaut. How sustainable is this rush attack? Jalen Hurts is on pace to set the quarterback rushing attempts record. Can you keep living this way? So far, obviously, so good. 4-0, haven't had less than 400 yards in a game yet. They've been awesome, but can they do this for 17-plus playoffs?
Well, they were the number one rushing team in the league last year. They led the entire league in running, and Jalen Hurts led the team in rushing yards. And a lot of that had to do with Miles Sanders, who a bunch of nagging injuries limited him to 12 games. Now we're seeing a healthy Miles Sanders, and I would expect he will lead the team in rushing, and Jalen Hurts won't. Jalen Hurts may pile up, you know, the rushing attempts to set the quarterback rushing attempts record, but I don't think he's going to lead this team in rushing yards. If Sanders stays healthy, I mean, we're seeing what he can do if he stays healthy. He's third in the league in rushing right now at 356 yards. He's got three touchdowns. He didn't have any last year. So, yeah, I mean, listen, the Eagles run the ball. That's kind of what they do. That's what this offense is predicated on, and they do it behind, you know, what I think is probably the best offensive line in football that just mauls defensive lines at the point of attack. So they did it last year, and I don't see any reason why they can't sustain doing it this year, especially if Sanders stays healthy.
He's averaging 5 yards a carry, 89 yards a game, with the three touchdowns on the season. Let's look ahead then. They play the Cardinals on Sunday. They are going out to Arizona, 4 o'clock window, I believe the 4:25 East kickoff. What's the health like? And paint a picture for us here on this matchup.
Yeah, well, their health is not ideal. They may be without their left tackle, Jordan Mailata, who has a shoulder injury. The news was good for him, though. We spoke to him at practice today, between practices, actually, and it was feared to be much worse, but it looks like he's going to be day to day, but I don't think he's going to play Sunday. And of course their kicker, Jake Elliott, I'm hearing he's been ruled out for Sunday. So they brought in a rookie kicker from the University of Texas, never kicked in an NFL game before. Cameron Dicker is his name. So he'll probably get his first kicks of his career on Sunday. That's a concern, obviously, when your kicker, is making his debut with a 4-0 team, you know, talk about pressure. He's going to feel that. But other than that, they seem to be good to go. But those are two big positions, obviously. And there's a lot of trends working against the Eagles in this game. You know, Cliff Kingsbury, the coach in Arizona, is 6-0 against NFC East teams. The Eagles are 0-4 at State Farm Stadium since it opened in 2006. So, you know, and then throw on top of that, the week coming out of this game, they play the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night in the big NFC East game. So, you know, you don't want them looking ahead, but, you know, it's only human nature to maybe take a peek ahead at that game. So, you know, there's some things working against the Eagles in this one.
And is there a weakness that hasn't been exposed yet, but you kind of have filed away going, yeah, but it will be at some point?
Well, I mean, I think their special teams play, you know, the third part of the game behind offense and defense specialty, I don't think it's been very good. I think their punter, Aaron Sippus, his second year in the league, he hasn't been great. You know, his net yardage last week against Jacksonville, I think, was 35 yards for a net. He's kicked a couple into the end zone on the plus side of the field, which you hate to see happen. So, you know, that's a weakness. Their kick return game, you know, they're using this undrafted rookie free agent, Britton Covey, a nice kid from Utah, but, you know, still feeling his way as a returner. He seems relatively shorthanded, but, you know, he hasn't made any really big explosive plays in that side, that part of the game. So, you know, if you're looking at a weakness, I think right now it's got to be the special teams coverage. And then you throw on the top of the fact that Jake Elliott, you know, one of the best kickers in the league, is going to miss Sunday's game. And then it becomes even a bigger issue.
Yeah, compounds that now, doesn't it? Ed, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
That is the latest on the Eagles, 4-0. Cowboys chasing them, a game back in the division. Let's discuss Dallas. To help us do that, Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News, winners of 3 in a row coming off of their handling of Washington with seeming ease this past weekend. Calvin, what'd you make of the Commanders and the Cowboys in Dallas this past Sunday?
You know, I thought the Commanders, you know, they need some new coaches. I just think they're a poorly coached team. You know, it's just, oh my God, it was so bad. Because there were some stretches in that game where I thought, oh, if the Commanders don't commit a pre-snap penalty, he might be okay. And then they commit a pre-snap penalty, or they commit some, you know, dumb penalty. Like, they committed 2 penalties on interceptions. And so at some point, you got to hold people accountable for that, and that's usually the head football coach. So I would think Ron Rivera will not be around next year unless there's a miraculous turnaround. But that was the biggest thing I got from that game because the Cowboys, I thought, were the better team.
2 interceptions for Washington resulted in 2 first downs for Dallas. That's how that's supposed to go, right, Calvin?
Yeah, that's basically it, yeah. And, you know, Carson Wentz, God bless him, but, you know, he's going to be a backup for the rest of his career. You know, he made a lot of money, and, you know, if I'm Washington, you know, they kind of remind me of Dallas because they're just, you know, the owners of these teams, they get in the way of this a little bit, and they're all dysfunctional. So Washington needs to rebuild that whole thing. I mean, I don't know where you start, but I don't know. I would just clean house of everything, even the new president, because you guys just don't know what y'all are doing.
Calvin's firing Rivera. He's firing Jason Wright.
I
and
love
he's
it.
Benching Carson Wentz.
Get you some, Calvin.
He's making some
it.
Moves.
I mean, you just got to – I mean, either you're trying to do it the right way or you're not. You know what I'm saying? And there's a – you know, and I don't see – I've been covering the NFC East since 2006, and I don't see any change in Washington. They're just going in a circle, you know. And so you say, well, what's the one constant there? And it's the owner, right? So he's not going anywhere, obviously. So what do you do then? Well, you've hired people, and nothing's gotten better. You know, you hire Ron Rivera, who's a nice man, but he's no longer – I mean, he's not an elite head coach, you know. So, and you took a chance on Carson Wentz, you know, former, you know, first round pick or whatever. And I think it was the reason why they got rid of him in Philly, you know. You know, it's the reason why people are bouncing around the league. And that's just from my outsider's perspective on Washington. It's just, they're just not, you know, hopefully you have a good hockey season, you know, basketball season.
It starts next week.
Yeah. We need Calvin Watkins available to consult. Calvin, let's Dallas specifically real quick. Here's my contention. I want to see if you buy or sell this. Obviously, their defense is good. any argument to the contrary is ridiculous. I don't think they're this good, though. I think they've benefited from playing some incompetent, bad offenses. Our hands going up here talking about Washington. The Giants, Bengals kind of weren't right. Tampa early season with the injuries and their line. I think they're going to come back down to earth a little bit. What are your thoughts?
Well, they got a good defense. I mean, they got elite talent on that defense. Dan Quinn does a really nice job with it. And, you know, Mike McCarthy said this earlier this week. He said, after 4 weeks, we know what you are. Obviously, a pretty damn good defense.
Yeah.
You know, they get after the quarterback. The one thing they're not doing this year that they did last year was get takeaways. And I think that will come. Trayvon Diggs has got to pick the last 2 weeks. They're all over the quarterback. And that's half the battle is getting after the quarterback. And that's what they're doing. So I don't know about coming back down to earth. This is what they are. They were a good defense last year. And now they've taken it to another level this year.
This weekend in L.A., 4:25 kick against the Rams. This is one of the powerhouses in the conference, won the Super Bowl last year. They need this game after getting beat by the 49ers. Still no Dak Prescott, it doesn't sound like. So what do we need to know about the matchup?
I think it's a good matchup. I was kind of surprised that the Rams got beat up a little bit by the 49ers because they have a really good defense in San Francisco. See, that's half the battle. Matthew Stafford, I don't know if he – when you talk about guys, you know, falling back to earth, I wonder if Matthew Stafford is beginning to decline, you know. Remember he had that – was an elbow issue, that mysterious elbow procedure he had. And, you know, so they got Cooper Kupp, who's just fantastic, but the next best player on that team in the passing game is their tight end, you know. And so you need a little bit more than that. And Aaron Donald is fantastic. He was kind of a no-show against on Monday night. But and I like Dallas to win this game. Their defense is just so good. However, if the Rams can get the offense going and get it turned into a high-scoring game, the Rams are going to win that ball game. But I just don't see it.
Kevin, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great one.
Hey, you guys have a great weekend.
Appreciate you. We hope to. It would sure help if Washington could score some points and – I think they might just be able to do that this weekend against the Titans. Why not? Coming home, playing in front of the home crowd, taking on Tennessee. Let's ring the bell a couple times.
You better just do it, actually. Like, seriously, you kind of have to do it.
You want me to ring the bell?
You ring the bell for as many touchdowns they're going to get this weekend, starting now. Go ahead. Whenever. Keep going. And scene.
Two tutties. I'm going to give them 17 points.
Yeah. Joey right. Sly kicks a field goal.
Second
in this
of
one?
The season.
Getting him an attempt.
That is how we blitz the East with the Giants, Eagles, and Cowboys on Grant and Danny. Coming up at 6, we are giving away a couple of tickets for you to go to Caps opening night next week at Capital One Arena. A lot of smoke on what's going on with Dan Snyder. We talked to Eric Flack about this much earlier in the show, the reporter from WSA TV9 who's covering the Snyder saga. What do you think is afoot here? What is going on? Why the leaked documents last night and the release from his team on how unfair this investigation is? Why the picture with Jerry Jones? Do you think something could be brewing? Or is this just a change in strategy for Snyder to go on the offensive because he's tired of sitting back and being hit like a punching bag? We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny.
The timing, the tone of the letter indicates that the team, and more importantly, Dan Snyder's legal team, know that something is coming, because otherwise, why put it back out there? Why have your show and everybody else talking about this all over again? They created this storyline today, so I can guarantee you they had a reason, and I think we're all just waiting to figure out what that reason is.
The voice of Eric Flack, who joined us at 3 o'clock today, right here on Grant and Danny. We asked him why yesterday Snyder's team put out 9 pages worth of takes on how unfair, essentially, the House Oversight Committee investigation has been. They are not talking to the right people, to paraphrase. They're talking to people with obvious axes to grind, like Bruce Allen. Snyder's gone back on the offensive. This really started on Sunday at Dallas when he inexplicably, after months in the shadows, and to the point where we haven't even really known if he's at games or not, because people say he's there, but he's sitting in the back of his suite. He doesn't want to be seen on camera, and so he doesn't want anyone to know he's there. So, I mean, literally, perhaps figuratively, I guess, if he wasn't there, in the shadows of this operation, Tanya is the face. He has not been public in any way other than really two brief fleeting moments. He came out on 2-2-22 for the release of the new jerseys and the new name. He was at that press conference and spoke for a moment, and then he was publicly with Tanya. We had the recording of him talking to the Maryland Gaming Commission.
That's right.
That's the list over, well, over a year now.
Very scant, yeah.
So Sunday he takes this picture, purposefully, obviously, he knows it's going out, and the Commanders put out this image of Dan with Jerry Jones about how great their friendship is and how long they've been buddies in this rivalry. And a lot of us, and I'll just speak for myself, said, this is strategic.
It's very purposeful.
Either he's saying, I'm back, I'm tired of sitting out, or he's saying, hey, Washington Post, last week you guys reported that I'm about to get ousted because a bunch of owners are going to vote against me. Guess what? I got allies, too. One of them's Jerry Jones, who might be the most powerful owner in football, and he's got my back. It was a message being sent, shot across the bow, in my opinion. But regardless, it was calculated. It wasn't just random. He hasn't even been sitting in the front row at games as recently as a week before that for fear that they might show him on TV. And now he's going to take pictures and smile with his new blonde hair so that he can be seen on the team's social media account. And then 4 days later, these documents come out. And a lot of smart people who cover politics, who cover stories like this and investigations, like Eric Flack, are saying, this is what you do before something happens to try to
preempt,
spin the narrative and get ahead of something.
Without question. So one without the other just sort of looks like, that's odd. Both together within 4 days, that's a come on, man. We know now. Something's afoot.
Especially because of how silent he's been.
Yes.
Right? I mean, if it was the last year or so, if he picked his spots and he comes out or he posts, you know, pictures on social or he's around. But to go from nothing for so long to 4 days with weird pictures with Jerry Jones, and normally, you know, they may confirm or deny to reporters or whatever, but they're not putting out documents. They're not issuing press releases.
And Eric Flack made an important distinction as well. They're making people available for interview. That's not...
Yeah, I didn't know that part.
Dan Snyder? Mr. Silent? Mr., you know, once every 4 years comes down for... Doesn't answer any questions, but says, we're embarrassed, hires a new white knight, and then goes back into the shadows to do his evil deeds?
Well, Snyder's not doing any interviews.
Well, I know he's not, but someone from his team is, which is, again, in and of itself is unbelievable. Usually they've got a hero that does it. In this case, they've got two. They've got two knights in Jason Wright and Ron Rivera to talk to anybody and everybody with a microphone. Well, they're offering somebody with regards to legal questions. Holy bleep. It tells you that they've gotten word, or they've sniffed out, or they believe that something very serious is coming. And I think they were reading the tea leaves, and I think they were looking around at the renewed momentum that Sarver has generated. Right. If that guy has to go, and it didn't take very long, why not? And as soon as everybody starts to, you get Sarver, that's done, and you turn your lens on to the probably a more villainous, for longer, more contentious, more despised, more loathed, a pariah in the NFL world. This guy who's under not one investigation, which got Sarver, but half a dozen. There's a pulse. There's a desire from a lot of people to not have him on the team anymore.
Well, if you're in some random state in the middle of the country or out west, when Sarver announced that he was going to be selling, when that happened, that he would be stepping down, I don't think your first takeaway was Dan Snyder should do the same. But if you were in Washington, D.C., I remember the moment we found that out. In fact, we were on the radio. The first thing you and I said in the break was, wonder what this means for Dan Snyder. And in fact, within an hour, the attorneys fighting against Snyder on behalf of the former employees had come out with their own statement saying there is a new precedent. We have changed the threshold and the bar for what we tolerate from ownership in sports. Sarver is doing the right thing. Dan Snyder should now do that as well. And they even went one step further to call out advertisers who haven't left Washington or haven't pressured Snyder to sell, and players. Because in the NBA, it was players who came out.
Yes.
And really, more than anything else, I think, made Sarver uncomfortable to the point where it was pretty clear now you're going to get some blowback from your own locker room, possibly, based on peer pressure from other powerful guys like LeBron and Jamron Green around the league. So those statements started to come out immediately. So I don't know that around the country everyone thought that they would connect the Sarver dot to Dan Snyder. But in circles locally, anyone following this story, certainly at the House Oversight Committee, it was a pretty obvious leap from one lily pad to the next.
So you're, I think it's an important distinction that you offer. So like Kansas City Chiefs fan, you know, number 877,000 is not getting out of bed this morning going, they got Sarver, they got to get Dan Snyder too, I tell you. They're not. They're so excited that Mahomes is going to throw three touchdowns this weekend. But at league circles, at league levels, at the maybe we should do this ownership level or executive level.
Definitely within that fraternity.
Yeah, it's non-zero where it was zero not that long ago, right? That anybody, didn't matter who you were or what you did, unless you were sort of caught on tape directly, you weren't going anywhere.
Well, there was also the report, and I don't remember who had it in the NBA, about some pressure from NBA owners of Sarver as well, which led to Banks, the attorney who came on our show, who represents the former employees, also saying, not just to the players or to the advertisers, but, hey, where are the other owners here? And it's something we've talked about a lot. I don't think 24 owners will ever vote to boot Dan Snyder. It's why I think he will be the owner here for many, many, many years. I think there is probably something coming. Maybe it's a bombshell. Maybe it's huge. Maybe it's the Wilkinson, I mean, not the Wilkinson report.
Mary Jo White.
That was a verbal book report. Mary Jo White report. Maybe it's the House Oversight Committee investigation. I don't know. But I don't think any of it's going to lead to him having to sell the team. Because I don't think there's two ways for that to happen. 24 owners have to vote him out, and I think that will never happen. Because I don't think any of those guys want to lower the bar for what it means to lose your team. And I don't think any of them want people putting on their scuba gear and diving into the water that is their past.
Yep.
But number two, I don't think the advertisers are going to come forward and do that right now. And if he sells the team at some point, that's what's going to happen. Same thing with the name. Said this for years. Everyone knew this. As soon as advertisers don't sell their gear, don't want to do business with the Redskins, they don't have a choice. And it's the exact same way for the NFL if advertisers stop playing ball with Dan Snyder. There's a path to that happening. I think there's no path to 24 owners saying goodbye.
I would tend to agree. I would say that's the most long shot of long shots is 24 owners. The ultimate non-starter for me is Dan just sells it of his own free will. You know what I mean? Like Dan gets noise, catches flack, and is quote unquote miserable, and he sells it. That's never going to happen. That part will never happen. The part that could happen, though, and the path that I could see to your point. Not just locally. It's not just Anheuser-Busch going, yeah, we're not going to give you guys beer. We're not doing that partnership anymore. It's at a, hey, league, if that guy's there, we ain't with you. It's that level that it has to get to. Then you get the owner's vote.
Oh, you mean so like other owners are losing out on
right. So
Domino's or whatever
For the sake of argument, you know, yes, Domino's, Home Depot, whomever, they're like, you know what? We're not doing business with a league that's got that guy. And maybe they think that that's what bombshell is coming. I have no idea. The part that I'm amazed by is, as you said, we're basically in a year of silence. One phone call that we get recorded to like PG County, can I please have a sports book / lottery location? And we're excited on 2/22. Here are the uniforms on mannequins. And then he goes back into hiding. We haven't seen hide nor hair of this guy that's normally a recluse. This is now next level type stuff. He's hiding out the entire summer and into the early fall on his yacht in another country.
At least you see him at the facility.
Yes.
Out on the practice field. You would see him, I guess, for listeners who aren't there, you would see him on TV. They'll show him three or four times during the game.
And they're not doing, I think there's an agreement between the NFL, by the way, and the broadcasters to not show him, which that's my own conspiracy theory. But at least, you know, normally he's cutting ribbons because it's our Harvest Fest, or it's this fest, or it's this Welcome
He'll
Home Luncheon.
He'll be passing out some turkeys in a few weeks.
Right. Like, but
don't you worry about that.
At the Welcome Home Luncheon, like, was he even in attendance? He'd even sit down while other people are not have to speak. He's just sort of, he wasn't even there for that. The first time we see him, he's got blonde hair with his arm around Jerry Jones, Tanya, Jason Wright, and now a former guy that sat on this committee is part of this law firm, and they're writing a cross-examination letter. Everything these guys are saying is BS. Whoa.
You're on the attack. To me. He is on the offensive after many, many months of being on the defensive, essentially. But I just think that the caption was critical to all of that, too, in that Instagram post, where the idea
was...
Oh,
of course it was,
Grant. Here's my friend, Jerry. It's as if, you know, someone publicly said, you know, Grant and Danny just don't see eye to eye, or Grant doesn't have any allies, or Danny doesn't have any allies with the show. And then we post a big picture where we're hugging and kissing in front of the 106.7, the Fan, you know, step and repeat. And it's, and we say... Yeah. Friends for 10 years, doing radio since the beginning.
That's right.
It was so obvious.
It was so obvious.
For
a flare
reason.
Gun. Like, yeah.
Find me the last Dan Snyder picture on the field before a game about him. I bet you there's never been one. I'm not saying from a random company. I'm saying the Commanders themselves on game day.
A mandated, you guys are going to put this out.
Right. Posted Dan Snyder. You think just some random kid that runs the Instagram account.
Hey, post from a pic, Mr. Snyder.
Nope.
You know, they're just like, hey, I took a picture of you and posted it. It's you and Jerry Jones talking about how much you guys love each other. That's not how that works.
Yeah, not at
all.
The
owner of the team.
I mean, it reminds me, like, if I've got someone that's bullying me, I go and find the bigger bully. And I go, here's a picture with me and the bigger bully.
Right.
Step to me, you're stepping to him. Right? That's what this is.
What do you guys think is going on? I'm looking for takes, opinions, and some theories here. Do you think that Sunday and last night were, you know, again, we're talking about 3+ days apart, tied together? The picture with Jerry Jones, talking about how close they are and how long they've been buddies. And then his team coming out with a 9-page document explaining how unfair at least one of these investigations has been. What is going on here? Do you think something's about to break, which is certainly been rumored? EB of the Junkies yesterday on air saying that he's heard something is coming down the pike. And when I saw that last night after what EB said, I just connected all the dots. I said, okay, EB's on to something.
Mm-hmm.
Something's coming at some point.
Something.
What they did was unprecedented of how they've handled this. 800-636-1067 is the number. We'll get your thoughts next on G&D.
They're going to continue on business as usual unless they have a reason not to. The NFL has no reason to take further action if they're not getting pressure from the players or the players' union or other owners or, frankly, corporate sponsors, because money talks, right? It wasn't until FedEx stood up and said something about the team name that it changed. And so, you know, if we get to a point where other owners in the NFL raise serious concerns, if the players themselves say, whether it's on the Commanders or on other teams, if they say this is wrong and we don't want to play for somebody like this, or corporate sponsors back out, you know, that's how change is going to happen. But you're right. Up until now, at least in Washington, that hasn't happened, which is why we put out the statement.
Lisa Banks, the attorney for a few dozen former employees, worked here in Washington, was on the show a couple of weeks ago. That audio relevant today after yesterday, Dan Snyder's team putting out a statement saying that the House Oversight Committee investigation is essentially, and I'm paraphrasing, hasn't been fair and they're not doing a thorough job representing both sides. Oversight Committee shot back at Dan Snyder. It could be in the next week that we hear something there. Maybe that is what they're trying to get in front of. Could be the Mary Jo White investigation, which is still going on. Important to remember that there are actually 6 investigations, I believe, that Dan Snyder is directly or indirectly a part of that are being done about the organization right now. Let's go to Chudy in Virginia. We're trying to figure out what you think is going on here. This started this weekend with the picture with Jerry Jones and carried over into last night when they put out their big 9-page statement.
Yeah, so, yeah, once again, thank you for taking my call. Getting to Jerry Jones, when I saw that picture, I was kind of chuckling to myself because I was like, oh, I guess Dan showed his face today. I was shocked. I was very shocked. But I guess that's not what really got me. I think the report itself is something that has kind of cooling my skepticism on this thing because, you know, you have a former congressman representing the law firm of Dan say, oh, this is outrageous and it's unfair. And when you have somebody who's been in Congress before representing you saying this, that's when you know that, okay, they want to get ahead of this eventual firestorm. Because if this report does get released, I have no doubt that the other reports are going to fall like dominoes. Basically, it's going to be a cascading effect.
Oh, you think like one leads to all the others. Mm. Good call, Trudy. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you. I wonder if the timing would be that way. Because I've kind of assumed it's just going to be a slow burn where next week maybe it's the House Oversight Committee.
Yeah.
Then sometime in December around the holidays, Mary Jo White's report comes out.
I wonder if it's like a little conference call, Attorney General's Virginia and Maryland and Mary Jo White and Carol Maloney or whatever.
Now, are we definitively going to hear anything on all of these things? Like,
I have no idea.
It's very possible that, I'm just picking one randomly, but like the Virginia House Oversight, whatever that report is, the Virginia
Attorney General,
like they might not do a, we might never hear about that
totally.
Again.
Yeah,
like,
it could be.
We're looking
nowhere.
Into this in right. air quotes, and next thing you know, different people are in office, and who knows?
Could have been over for months. I have no idea.
Right.
But I wonder if there's like a conference call, you know, where they're like, we're doing ours on Thursday. You guys want to do yours? And a couple weeks later, like you guys do yours Christmas Eve. I don't know.
Kyle's in Richmond on GND. What's up, Kyle? How are you?
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call. Love the show.
Appreciate you.
Similar to the last caller, I think this is going to be the tip of the iceberg, and I think Dan has kind of realized now that he couldn't squash it behind the scenes. So now he's going to use like all those resources, including the organization, as basically collateral damage to try and save himself. And I want to get your guys' opinion on the Jerry Jones thing. Do you think that could be like a veiled threat?
Yes.
Like, hey, I know some stuff about Jerry. Jerry's not going to rat me out, so if you want me, it's going to be like everybody's going to go down.
So slight difference. I didn't take it as a threat to Jerry. I took it as a threat to everybody else in the league. Meaning, if you'd like to mount a challenge against me, the most important order. This is Jerry Jones's league, whether we want to admit it or not. That guy is the NFL. He's the lead owner informally, but everybody kind of follows his lead. He makes everyone money. If you, that the purpose of that picture was, if you want me, you got to go through him. It's like when Rocket Raccoon said that when the Groot and everybody was in the prison. He's like, you want to go through me? You got to get through him first. The big giant tree that just tore a guy's nose off. That's what that was. He's telling everybody, I know where the bodies are buried. I know all you guys have dirt. You're not going to win if you come after me because I got him in my corner.
Very well could be. I didn't take it as that threat to other owners or that kind of a message being sent. I actually just took it as a straight up rebuttal to the report that the Post had just done and as a statement to everyone who had read the report like you and I. Because if you remember, 1 week before that to the day, the previous Sunday, ahead of the game, the report was, there are owners who want this guy out. There's a growing amount of basically belief where a couple of unnamed owners said, we need to have a vote on this. We need to start talking about this. But you have some power. Why aren't you doing that, unnamed owner? It might be three owners that want this guy out, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It might be four. You know, someone talked to Jarrett Bell, remember, months ago. We had him on the show. Someone's talked to A.J. Perez, I think it is, from Front Office Sports. Like, it might be the same owner who just keeps talking to everyone, and he's one of two guys that wants Dan Snyder.
He's like texting everybody. Yeah.
We have no idea. But I think Dan Snyder was saying, you're acting like I have no friends. This guy's
the
my
most
buddy.
Important one.
He calls the shots. That's all I took it as, less to as like a statement to the other owners. But both could absolutely be true. All right, let's give away some Caps tickets next. Plus, we're going to be joined by Eric Eager to go around the NFL on G&D.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.